and they made me. Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, you were just in my house over the weekend.
Yes, I had never been to your. Have I been to your apartment in the city? I don't think so. I think this is my first time in any of your.
You've
homes.
Been to my parents' house in Jerusalem, but that's it.
I've been to your parents' some. That's it. Yeah, it was fun. I had a good.
Yeah,
time
we had
your
a
house.
Cereal tournament.
Cereal
the
tournament.
Results
no spoilers.
Are yeah. So let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question about this no spoilers thing. So yeah. So Everyone in the room was sworn to secrecy because
sworn
we
secrecy.
Don't want the results coming out until the podcast comes out.
Blood.
But
blood,
what about the? Yeah. But what about all the people who are asking for the results who I don't want them to listen to the podcast?
Oh, that's interesting. I think you have to tell them once the podcast comes out, like the next day, you can. You mean Dr. Jen? Is that who you're referring to?
No, I'm referring to like all the people in my. Like, we spoke about it a lot over the weekend, so all the people in my neighborhood were interested.
Right.
But like, I try. You know, I'm like George. I need to keep, you know, independent.
I agree.
Chester
I don't want my
from,
parents to listen. And also, like. I mean, minor spoilers, like within the first 5 minutes, you curse 30 times and like it's referenced that I'm like horny for the cereals. Like,
yeah.
We can't have.
I just watched 10 episodes of Big Mouth the last like 24, 48 hours. So there's a lot of like sick perversions that teenage boys have. But, you know, cereal is a new one to me.
I think that once the podcast is dropped, you just like text them like.
Can
redacted,
we say
beat,
a
redacted.
Number of people? A number of people filled out brackets, which by the way, I forgot to grade them all. In fact, I threw them out, I think by mistake. But at least one person that I've seen, and maybe more, you can tell me correctly predicted the final matchup.
Yeah. People predicted. Some people predicted it right. Some people were.
Listen,
way
people
off.
Knew granola was going all the way. So props to them.
All right, no more spoilers. But yeah, we had a fun time. The one thing that I thought of afterwards, which is a huge loss for society, is the Super Bowl, where if we put like a little piece, like a couple, you know, a couple cornflakes and a couple Cheerios and a couple of everything into a bowl, and then we like drew straws, and one of us had to eat the Super Bowl with 32 different cereals in a bowl.
Well, this is somewhat similar. If you know, again, no spoilers, but the final decision came down to the final voter who was torn between the two championship matchups.
Yes.
And I proposed that he throw a bowl with both of them in there and then see which bites he enjoys more. But you're saying go 32 deep, which is kind of
32 deep. Well, not even part of the tournament, just as like a
the biggest mistake we made is only 32. We should have went 64.
We should have gone 64. It is called 32 Fans, this podcast. I think 64 would have been funny.
Yeah, like Travis scared us into thinking that we'd be like, wouldn't be able to finish all the food.
I know,
but like,
I know.
All of us ate a lot more than we needed to after.
people were eating cereal after the tournament was over.
Cereal. I had a peanut butter jelly sandwich later that night. We had a poker tournament. We were going to barbecue. Yeah.
Yeah, I ran out, but I was up for. I would have eaten barbecue that night.
We would have barbecued if you had not had to run away so quickly.
Yeah. So let's get into football, but hopefully that we just have to finish editing
the
podcast. Okay.
So listen, we're in October. We're 5 weeks through the season. Every single team has played, you know, at least a quarter of their games. And I wanted to take a step back and, you know, everybody's talking about the teams that are disappointments and the teams that are surprises. And I want to take a step back and actually look at what I predicted, you know, before the season, of course, I predicted every single game. So the predicted records that I had for every team through 5 weeks versus where they actually are, because I think there'll be some surprises about teams that actually aren't surprises, right? Like there's some teams where people are like really disappointed or really excited, but actually if you look at their schedule, like this is what we thought was going to happen, or what I thought anyway was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So also exciting news this week for the first time all year, you guessed the lines.
Yes, the first time. I feel like now I'm in because we had the holidays and also I was and still am traveling. Now I'm like really into mid-season football mode. So I guess the lines and hopefully I'll be able to do it going forward.
Yeah, I watched more football on Sunday than I've watched in a long time.
Well, I went to the Jet game. The one good thing they have going on is they during commercials, they do have the red zone going. So you can at least track what's going on in the games. And I was able to come home in time to watch the end of the 4 o'clock games. But I did miss the other ones other than like watching YouTube highlights.
Yeah. So, I mean, I saw pretty much everything. Did you see the contraption I used? Because I was watching all three of my kids in the yard while watching football on my porch.
Yeah, I did. I think, where did you post that? On Facebook? It was very funny. You had like a 50-foot hand, which allowed you to push your kid's
swing. It was more. It was like 200 feet. It was all the way to the edge of my property.
Are you that handy? Yeah. See, I'm not obviously handy enough to do something
handy,
like that.
I literally tied a rope to the swing. That's all I did.
Okay. All right.
Wasn't that handy. But that was I was pretty proud of that idea. The problem is then the older two kids who would never otherwise want to go in the baby swing now wanted to go in the baby swing to be pulled by that thing.
Right. So, I'm sure that becomes a popular swing now.
Yeah. So, but, you know, it occupied at least half an hour, which, you know, you got 3 hours during the early game. You know, during the 4 o'clock
game. You have to watch your kids during the 1 o'clock games? I thought the rule was like you
Well, the Vikings were playing at 4 o'clock against the Eagles.
So you get alone time for Vikings games. Is that the rule?
No, I don't get any alone time. But I have solo time during the non-Vikings games. So Jen took a nap at like the 1 o'clock games. I'm watching all three kids.
A nap?
And then at 4 o'clock, she comes and helps out so that I can, you know, get some.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. The worst part, and by the way, when you have small kids, the 4 o'clock game is the best. Is obviously when your team is playing at night because your kids are asleep. Mm-hmm. The 4 o'clock is the worst because it's dinner time and then bedtime. So I actually had a pause during the fourth quarter of the Vikings Eagles game, and I had multiple TVs going. I had Red Zone on one, I had the Vikings on the other. I had to pause both of those. I had to turn off all the notifications on my phone because I didn't want to get spoiled because I had to miss a couple minutes of the fourth quarter. I mean, pause, and then
horrible.
I came back and watched it.
No, and also, like, when I used to miss the games and when I used to, you know, ditch my family because I was working on NBC on Sundays for four seasons, like, I would have paid a lot of money to be able to do that because really you're just getting away from your family to watch football. Like, I was getting paid to watch football, but I definitely would have paid them because my wife could never complain, like, hey, she's, you know, she took
it's your job.
To her grandmother's house. Yeah. I never went once in 4 years.
I'm a sports lawyer. I should try and argue that it's part of my job, but yeah, not really.
You should. I think you could honestly pull it off. I mean, your wife doesn't respect the fact
yeah,
that
my wife doesn't respect anything about me, so it doesn't really matter. Let's be honest.
I did not see much of my arch enemy, Dr. Jen, this past week.
Yeah.
All right. All right. We have. What do you want to do? Do you want to do all 16 games? Do you want to tell us like tell us which teams are missing the boat right now? Which teams did you have in the top 10?
So,
or 12
well, I had three teams that I predicted would start the season 5-0, and none of them have. So, you know, so the biggest disappointment is the team that the Vikings just beat on Sunday evening, which is the Eagles. I had the Eagles starting 5-0, and they're 2-3. Now, a little bit of that, you can say, well, they didn't have Wentz, but Wentz has come back and hasn't looked great. They lost at home for the first time in forever to the Vikings yesterday, and then they've lost both of their road games to Tennessee and Tampa, two mediocre at best teams. So Philadelphia, definitely a big disappointment. Jay Ajayi now gone for the season on IR. There's talk about them trading for Shady McCoy. By the time this is posted, maybe something will have happened there. But the big issue is that the Eagles were a team last year. Their defense is still very good. You know, they have the number one rush defense in the league. The Vikings have an elite passing game with Cousins and Diggs and Thielen. So they were able to throw the ball on Philadelphia, but they can throw the ball on just about anybody. They didn't run the ball. You can't run the ball against Philadelphia. The issue is that, well, first of all, they didn't get a lot of pressure on Cousins, which is surprising because the Vikings' offensive line stinks. But the biggest issue is their offense. The Eagles' offense has just been a disaster this year. And I don't know what it is because, you know, Wentz is back now.
I think he's just not 100%. First of all, we saw this from Watson the first few weeks. Watson was bad. Now he's already back to himself. But, you know, there's varying
Deshaun Watson?
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about guys coming back from injury?
Okay. Guys come back from ACL injuries. There are varying degrees. Like, it is possible Wentz won't be Wentz till 2019.
Okay. Well, and this is one of – but the other issue, and this is one of the things we talked about in the Eagles preview with Shamir, when Shamir was shocked that their over-under wasn't 13.5 or 12.5 or something. But, like, their skill position guys are not good. They
not
have a bunch
good.
Of
you
number
around,
three receivers.
Yeah, well, Alshon Jeffrey's at worst the number two. I think you're being hard on him.
Okay.
But who else is there? Like, Jeffrey, Aguilar, and then, their garbage running back by committee is not great. Now, Ertz is probably the best tight end at this point.
Kelsey, but yeah, but Ertz is
Ertz,
top two.
Ertz and Kelsey are basically
and a healthy Gronk, but that's you know rare.
Right, but
so.
I don't. Yeah. And Gronk might not have his fastball anymore.
Yeah, those are the big three in real tight ends. Those are big three in fantasy. Those are the big three in everything for tight ends. And he's their best. He's their best receiver for sure. You know, when the Vikings were up 23-14, and then with 2 minutes to go, they just let the Eagles march right down the field, and it was like six consecutive passes to Ertz. Like it was almost like the Vikings weren't even trying or something. I didn't understand what they were doing. I mean, the Eagles weren't going to win unless they scored, got an onside kick, scored again. But Ertz is definitely their go-to player on offense.
Listen, they couldn't get to Cousins. The Eagles' whole game is that their defensive line needs to be unblockable.
Yeah.
You know,
and the Vikings' offensive line has been terrible all season. So, yeah. So, you know, the reason the Vikings lost to Buffalo and to the Rams was because of strip sacks. And the Eagles could not. Yeah. The only fumble, the Vikings lost a fumble on a pass that Cousins threw that the running back dropped that technically was backwards, and so it was considered a fumble for Cousins, but it wasn't actually.
The Vikings lost to the Bills because the Bills have looked even worse since that game. And their offense is historically bad, according to Football Outsiders.
Yeah. I think, but again, the Vikings gave up 250 yards to Buffalo. That was a fluke game where each of the first Vikings' two possessions, they fumbled, they got strip-sacked inside their own red zone, and so Buffalo had two short fields and converted, and so they were up 17-0, you know, halfway through the first quarter. You know, that game wasn't a function of the Bills' offense. The shock in that game was that
You can come back from that. Like, look at the Jets.
Yeah,
game.
Oh,
Jets
no, I'm saying.
At the beginning.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but the error of the Vikings in that game wasn't so much their defense, it was more their offense. I think talk of the Vikings' defense struggles has been overblown. Like, okay, they did badly against the Rams on short rest against the best team in the league on the road. You know, that's not a surprise. And other than that, you know, the defense played fine in all their other games. You know, they didn't play amazing against Green Bay, but even that Green Bay game, the Green Bay scored 29 points because of a blocked punt in the end zone and a whole bunch of other stuff. The Vikings' only bad defensive game, really, was against the Rams. So, you know, the Vikings got a lot of pressure on Wentz, which is the first time they've gotten pressure on a quarterback since week one, basically. I'm not worried about the Vikings defense so much. I'm still worried about the running game and the offensive line. But we're talking about the Eagles. They're going into New York this week. You guessed this line right on the line, 2.5. So you took a 1-0 lead on Mr. Alex Chester. I thought it was going to be Philly by 2, so I was very close. Are you picking the Eagles to cover and win on the road?
Yeah, I think the Giants stink. I think the Eagles are not going to be able to. I think the Eagles are going to be in Eli's face all day. By the way, so we're picking against Sal and Bill. It's such a delight listening to their podcast this week. Bill told the worst parenting story I've ever heard in my life. Like, literally, if I had done what he had done, my wife would have stabbed me in the heart.
It's impossible to comprehend how bad of a father and a person he is.
If my dad had made like
for those who didn't listen, he was mad at his daughter that she didn't score enough goals in a youth soccer game, and so he refused to feed her lunch. He gave her gum.
My wife's the type, she would have taken her out to two lunches. And if I had even suggested.
Your kids get trophies for literally nothing. We know that.
Yeah, my kids get trophies. By the way, the nothing trophy ended up being a pizza-making trophy. It wasn't even a blank trophy.
Yes, that's true. So I'm not sure who to pick here. Yeah,
Giants,
I think I'm
going to
pick the Eagles also. Yeah, the Giants are real. Okay, so let's talk about my prediction. So everybody's talking, you know, New York fans are all disappointed and upset. The Giants are 1-4. You know what my prediction was at this point in the season?
What?
1-4.
Okay.
So the Giants have disappointed. This is what happens when you have an aging, terrible quarterback and you waste your number one pick on the most expensive running back in the league. Like, you're not going to be good.
Barkley is really, really good. Like, he's probably exactly what we thought he'd be.
He's amazing.
But
he's a top five running back. But they're paying him to be a top five running back.
Two long carries, and his other carries were 13 carries, 2 yards.
Yeah, he's got more value out of the backfield. You know, he makes nice touchdown catches from Odell Beckham. He's great for fantasy, where I have him in our League of Leagues.
The truth is that offense, when everyone's healthy, and they have Odell, Shepard, Ingram, and Barkley, is like, think about how much better those skill position players are than the Eagles. But even a 10% Wentz is better than Eli at this point.
Yeah, the problem is they don't have a quarterback. By the way, breaking news, Jamal Charles.
Signed with the Jaguars. I actually think they'll give him carries. Yeah, TJ Yeldon's been a sneaky, really solid fantasy option the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, Fournette might be out for a while. All right, so that's the Eagles, that's the Giants. By the way, an update in our picking winners and losers. Last week we disagreed on 5 games. You went 0-5 in those games. So you're really not doing well at the moment. You picked five road teams. Baltimore, Green Bay, Jacksonville, Denver, and Atlanta, and they all
lost. You've been crushing me. I went 2-5 in our pick 7 league. Nobody's picked 7, by the way, in four weeks. I think you still are in first place in that pool. You have not in our pool where you have to pick 4 games to advance, and you just need to go 2-2 or better. You're the only person to have had 0 losing weeks so far. You're really crushing everybody across every pool. It's funny because I feel like you don't know anything. You're just guessing.
Yeah, I'm in first place in AYFFL. I'm in first place in League of Leagues. It's been a good gambling football season for me so far.
Yeah, we should really gamble bigger money.
And guess what? We're out of last place in the 32 Fans League.
Oh, yeah. We were 0-8 because you play 2 matchups a week, and we just big
Mark
win.
Mark Ingram got 2 touchdowns. We snuck by somebody, I forget, and now we're 2-8. We're in 31st place.
Yeah, we're 31st, baby. How many teams make the playoffs? 12?
I think 14, but
14.
Yeah, we're headed in the right direction. If we improve by one spot every week, we'll finish out of the playoffs.
All right, let's go to the Sunday games.
Okay, so let's here, I'm going to go back to my handy-dandy chart. So as I said, the Eagles have been the most disappointing team so far. Mm-hmm. The Giants have been exactly what we thought they would be. The The second most disappointing team has been a team that actually had a huge win on Sunday and plays in the same state. The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh. Are they really disappointing?
Well, so here's the thing. Again, look at their schedule going into the season. I thought they'd be 5-0 at this point. They lost at home to Baltimore. They shouldn't be doing that.
No, right? Baltimore is kind of solid. Baltimore's had a very quiet season so far. But that's not
it.
A bad
can be
loss.
A close game, but Pittsburgh shouldn't be losing at home to them. And then obviously they had the tie to Cleveland. So in net, they're 2.5 games behind where I thought they would be.
All right, but first of all, Cleveland's good now. Look at Cleveland's results; they're all good, basically.
Well, we'll get to Cleveland in a second. But Pittsburgh, disappointing, but they're also looking up because they just beat Atlanta, one of the preseason best teams in the league, by 24 points. So Pittsburgh's definitely looking up.
Pittsburgh Cincy game is a really big one.
So this Sunday they go to Cincinnati. Cincinnati, one of the big surprise teams. I had them being 2-3 at this point, and they're 4-1.
They're so boring.
They've had a couple of big road wins. Yeah, well, the thing is, the score ends up being much bigger in these games because they get all these pick sixes or fumble sixes right at the end of the game, against the Colts and they did this past week. Going into Atlanta was only really, really surprising outcome to me. Beating Indy, and Indy's not the biggest deal in the world, and those are the two wins that I didn't see them getting. So, but right now they're 4-1. They're home against Pittsburgh, and this is a must win, I think. And I thought, Pittsburgh's still a public team. Pittsburgh just looks great on Sunday, so these teams are about even, and Cincy will be favored by 3. You thought it was 1.5, so you thought you were buying the Cincy hype. Excuse me.
Yeah.
You were not buying the Cincy hype. You were buying the Pittsburgh hype even more. You thought it was only 1.5.
Yeah. Pittsburgh's in a weird spot right now because they're 2-2-1, and then they've already played two division games, and their next three are all division games. So they're really going to decide their season right now. Their last game is divisional, so they don't have a single divisional game basically for November and December. Cincy got flexed into the Sunday night game next week, which I was very surprised about because you don't see Cincy getting a Sunday nighter. But the game there was Rams Niners.
Yeah.
Garoppolo getting
gotta
hurt,
get that
crushed
out of
because
yeah.
Garoppolo I think was on two Mondays, two Sundays, and a Thursday in a very short span. So
there's only so much you can flex. By the way, they flexed the Viking Saints game into Sunday night, which is amazing because my nephew's birthday party was on that Sunday at 1:00. So that's great news.
Oh, they already did flex that game?
Yeah, Viking Saints.
Because I thought they would be looking at the Jets Vikings, but I don't think they could flex both because they have a finite number of Vikings.
Why would Jets Vikings be a game you'd want to see on TV?
Well, it's better than Rams. There aren't a lot of options that day, and the Bengals are like such a minor team. I think had the Jets beat the Browns, we probably would have gotten Jets Vikings. Plus, all these media guys, they like to do stuff in New York. I thought that's what they would do, but you can't flex the Jets, and because if they lose to Indy this week, it's a 2-4 team.
Yeah.
So you can't really. But I think having Darnold versus the Vikings would have been a better TV option than Bengals Chiefs. They're going to try and turn Mahomes into a star. The exact same thing they tried to do last year with Watson right before he got hurt.
Well, look, if Cincinnati beats Pittsburgh this week, then Bengals-Chiefs will be a good game. But I have Cincinnati beating Pittsburgh.
The CBS is going to have the Chiefs probably in a lot of their key playoff games and then possibly in the Super Bowl. So
hold on a second. Kansas City starts every season 5-0 and then 9-1.
I'm not saying they're making it, but you sort of need to...
Why are we making any assumptions? This is what Andy Reid does. They're not going to the Super Bowl. Let's slow our roll. All right, so Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. I'm picking Cincinnati to win.
Yeah, I'm picking the home team also.
And then after this, I think we get Le'Veon Bell back, so we'll see how that affects
after
the team.
Bye, yeah.
Yeah. All right, okay, so we just mentioned them, so I guess I'll bring them up now. The biggest surprise to me, the Kansas City Chiefs, I had them at 2-3 at this point in the season.
Well, their schedule on paper was so hard at the Chargers and at the Steelers to start.
Yeah, I thought those would both be losses. I thought they'd be 2-3. They're 5-0, so they're +3. They are the biggest positive on my entire list thus far this season. And this week they have one of the biggest games of the season, Sunday Night Football, at New England, sort of the best team in the AFC versus the team that we thought was the best team in the AFC. And by the way, it works well for this little gimmick I'm doing because Kansas in New England is of the teams remaining, the biggest disappointment so far because I thought they'd be 5-0 this year. I thought they were going to go 14-2.
I'm not worried about the Patriots, but yeah, obviously they're not.
Well, again, we feel very differently now than we did 2 weeks ago because they just blew out Miami and then they blew out Indy. But those are two bad teams that they beat at home. So, But the Patriots.
How many wins do you
think
the Chiefs end with? So the Chiefs are 5-0. This is obviously a really hard game. Mm-hmm. They have some real easy games. They host the Broncos, Raiders, and Cardinals. Still, those are bottom five teams all at home, and they have another game with the Raiders on the road. They have a game with the Seahawks. Like they have a lot of winnable games. The Browns. But then they play the best teams. They play the Patriots and the Rams in Mexico. So that's a home game they're losing. And then they play the Chargers and the Ravens.
Yeah, and that's a great game, by the way, for Monday Night Football to be getting.
Yeah, the right. Monday Night game in Mexico, Chiefs Rams, yeah. Especially. I mean, it's not going to happen. Imagine if they're both 10-0, or the Rams might be 9-0. I think they have a bye before that. No, they probably both have a bye after that game, actually.
Yeah, the byes are after that for both of them.
That would be.
They both could be 10-0. I mean, cool. I'm looking at their schedule.
Do you remember the Monday night Niners Giants?
Niners Giants. Yeah, like 1990 or whatever it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember it at the time, but I remember like learning about it subsequent to that. Mm-hmm. So here's the only losses that I really see on the schedule for Kansas City, and they'll probably drop one we don't expect. You know, they'll lose at home to somebody, but at New England this week, which I'm picking the Patriots, and then that Mexico game against the Rams. And then maybe at Seattle on Sunday night in Week 16.
I mean, they could lose to the Bengals. They could lose in Seattle. They could lose to the Chargers.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they could lose to the Ravens. But, you know, if you look at their schedule right now, you'd have to say, yeah, they're headed to 13 wins. But, yeah.
Listen, they didn't even kill Denver, who's atrocious.
Yeah.
They haven't really – the only team they killed, oddly, is Jacksonville.
Yeah. Well, it was their biggest margin of the season, I think. Right.
And that was 30-14. But, you know, that wasn't even that close.
Well, I mean, but most, you know, the Denver game was in doubt. Their other games weren't really in doubt. The Pittsburgh game was in doubt a little bit. You know, Pittsburgh tightened that up towards the end. Yeah, but I think that when, you know, starting 2-0 with those two road wins against, you know, teams that were playoff favorites was sort of what got our attention. And, you know, Mahomes is obviously really good. Their defense had a good game, but it was against Blake Bortles. So I still want to see their defense do something. And let's see. This is a big test. If they go in and
is Mahomes your MVP so far?
No, it's Drew Brees.
Yeah, Drew Brees. I was going to correct you.
He doesn't have a turnover yet.
Drew Brees, like people are like now it's old, it's passé. But I was looking at Brees' numbers this week. Like, guy's completing 80% of his passes and has no turnovers, and nobody's.
Yeah, I mean, if you remember last year, he led the league in at Chester QBR, and he got no.
Who could forget that he? Led
yeah, and he but he got no attention in the MVP race because he didn't have sort of the touchdown numbers.
He was going so low. He was like undrafted in one QB fantasy leagues and 10 team leagues. Like he was, I was so high in him. Listen, I had the team winning the Super Bowl, so high in him, and I'm in 7 fantasy leagues, and I managed to have Drew Brees in 0 of them, very smartly.
Yeah, especially if you said that. He wasn't even going very high. I don't know.
He's completing 78% of his passes. He has 11 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, almost 9 yards per attempt, and his quarterback rating is over 122. Respectable.
Yeah, very good. All right, so who do you have in the KC New England game?
It's far from a best bet for me. I'm going to pick the Patriots to win, but if Kansas City won by 30, I wouldn't be surprised.
All right, you know, so I feel like
I don't think the game's going to be close. I think either the Patriots are just going to steamroll them and sort of end the Chiefs' party, or the Chiefs are just too good and too fast for the Patriots.
All right, so I have one more team who's been uber disappointing, has two fewer wins than we were expecting. Do you want to guess who that is?
Two fewer wins.
I mean, if you had the list, it's obvious. Who's the most disappointing team? The Super Bowl contender that's 1-4.
Oh, well, the Falcons.
Yeah, so I had the Falcons only being 3-2 at this point because their schedule was difficult. But the bottom line is there's no excuse to like losing to Cincinnati at home, for example. You know, you lose to Philly in the season opener, that's fine. But even you lose to Pittsburgh on the road, it shouldn't be by that much. This is a team, this is similar to Kansas City. Their offense is really good, but their defense is atrocious, and they haven't been able to make up that difference.
Right. So, the players get hurt week one, then the Sark stuff happens, and it just seems like they've created almost like a media circus there, and I don't know what they're going
to
do.
Yeah, I mean, look, I picked this team to win the division, not New Orleans. And I was actually shocked by the line this week, although I guess not as shocked as you. You guessed it to be 6.5, which is even higher. I had it at 4.5. Bill Simmons actually won this one. He had it all the way down at 3. It's only 3.5. So
people should know
Tampa
the Bucks
suck. Are about even.
Yeah. People should know that the Bucks are bad.
I mean,
you're reacting too much to the 1-4-ness of the Falcons.
Yeah. Don't look at the records. Look at the teams. And in anti-survivor, I'm taking the Bucks to lose this week, even though they're only 3.5-point underdogs.
You're taking the Bucks to lose. That's a shout out to Scott Rubin and everyone else who's competing against you.
Yeah, I don't care.
I don't think the Falcons are so bad. First of all, they should never have an incompletion. Like Ryan throwing to Julio, Ridley, and Sanu, they should have a 30-yard completion on every play.
Their running backs are healthy now.
Their running backs are fine. Like they don't have, you know, Hooper's not a great time, but like that offense should be putting up 40 every single game.
Yeah.
They scored 17 against Pittsburgh. They scored 12 against Philly. Their other games, they moved the ball. They scored over 30, but
no,
they should never be able to be shut down.
except for this past week. But yeah, so I think. But look, you know what?
Their defense allowed 43, 37, and 41. That's not great.
You know what the doctor orders for an offense that needs to get on fire? The Tampa Bay defense.
Yeah, I mean this game could be. Well, that's another. This game could be like a 45-42 game. Also,
it will
like,
be. Yeah, and don't give me while Tampa's on a bye. Like we just saw Washington come off a bye and go into New Orleans. And,
yeah.
I think Jay Gruden's time. You know, it's funny because that team is still in first place in that division. But is
which Gruden gets fired first?
Well, is there a single coach in? Well, you know, I guess we got to give Shermer a chance. But is there a single coach in that division, other than Peterson, who's has any competency whatsoever? We know about Jason Garrett, but Jay Gruden's just undercover. He's been terrible. They've made the playoffs what once in his tenure.
There's some divisions you just love to be in right now.
It's such a bad division.
I'd love to be in the NFC in the AFC West if you're. Andy Reid, you're competing against Vance Joseph, who's lost.
Oh, as a coach.
Anthony Lynn. Yeah, Anthony Lynn, who might be lost, and Gruden, who's a clown.
Yeah.
And then the NFC East, you have Shermer, we don't know yet. And that team isn't good enough to really judge him. Garrett should have obviously been fired 4 years ago. He's useless. And Gruden is you know, maybe Emperor has no clothes without McVay.
Yeah, he's not good. He's best case scenario, you can say he's about, you know, maybe 16th or something. And we haven't done our coach rankings yet. We'll do that in a little bit, in a couple of weeks probably. All right, so but you have Atlanta beating Tampa also, I assume?
Yeah, I have Atlanta beating Tampa.
Okay, and Tampa, by the way, is, you know, we thought that they'd be 0-4 at this point and they would have fired Dirk Cutter. So they're 2-2. So that's actually, they're one of the most pleasant surprises, but they don't feel that way because they just gave up a million points to Chicago.
No, I still think Dirk Cutter could get fired pretty quickly.
Yeah. All right, so I like how we knock off the most and least disappointing teams, and then all right, so the next one, the last sort of big surprise in a positive way for me, is the Tennessee Titans. I don't think they're any good. You know, I picked Buffalo to cover the 3.5, and I wish I would have had the balls to pick Buffalo to win this past week. I don't think Tennessee's good, but the bottom line is I thought they'd be 1-4 right now. I did not think that they would beat Jacksonville. I did not think they would beat Philadelphia. And they pulled off those two wins that I wasn't expecting. And so Tennessee has two more wins than I expect. But I don't have a lot of respect for them. This is an interesting game. They're at home to Baltimore. And Baltimore is 2.5-point favorites, which is basically what Baltimore had as a road favorite last week at Cleveland. So that means that even though Tennessee's 3-2, the public or Vegas sees Tennessee basically as good as the Browns.
The Titans are trash. First of all, they're unwatchable. They have one 130-yard passing game so far in their five games from their quarterback.
Yeah, well, we know that because we invested heavily in Marcus Mariota in that stupid thing.
And by the way, speaking of Titans fantasy players, Deion Lewis and Derrick Henry somehow both are useless.
Yeah, I have Deion Lewis in every league for some reason. I'm not sure how that worked out.
They're useless.
I
think Lewis had one good game. Henry every week is 10 for 30.
In every league.
8 for 29. No
touchdowns.
Well,
Henry is completely worthless. Henry's unplayable. Lewis, at least, you know, he's going to get a bunch of receptions out of the backfield. So,
yeah, and the Titans have an interesting schedule coming up. They have the Chargers. They have in Dallas is pretty easy. They have the Patriots coming up. The Texans. The Titans could make the playoffs. Like they're
well. Let's talk about this game. So you were the only one who got this right. You had Baltimore favored by 1.5 in Tennessee. Me and Bill thought that Tennessee would be favored, and Sal threw his hands up and said, "Pick 'em." So why is Baltimore favored?
Well, they're better. Baltimore's better. Nobody respects Tennessee. Nobody cares about Tennessee. Nobody scored 20.
Baltimore's not very good. Baltimore just lost
12-9
to Cleveland in a game that, by the way, should have been a 9-9 score.
Cleveland's defense is good, and we know Flacco sucks. But yeah, by the way, there's going to be this is probably one of the lowest over unders of the year because neither of these teams are going to score on offense.
Yeah, it's going to be another field goal fest. Yeah, don't watch this game. Who do you have winning it?
Baltimore.
So Baltimore, by the way, they are one game better than I thought they'd be because I did not think they'd go into Pittsburgh and win. So I thought they'd be 2-3. They're 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
I predicted them to be the sixth seed before the season. I haven't really changed my opinion about them. They're good enough in the AFC, basically. I really don't like Tennessee. I'm going to pick Tennessee to win this game, though.
Okay. So I mean, again, like you said, don't watch the first 58 minutes of this game, no matter what you do.
Yeah. Well, the problem is it's a
Titans
late game.
Cowboys.
Why
is
this a late game, by the way?
I don't know. Titans Cowboys is a brutally bad Monday night game coming up.
Why are the Cowboys on national TV every week?
It's crazy.
Understand.
Enough with the Cowboys.
They're unwatchable.
Jerry Jones will,
they're boring.
Sue them.
Yeah.
There's all also right. ESPN has two Titans games on Monday night in November alone. That's really a punishment.
Yeah, not ideal. All right. The most disappointing remaining team, the Green Bay Packers. I thought they'd be 4-1 right now. They're 2-1, so they're a game and a half off the pace that I had for them. you know, part of it, I guess you could say, was Aaron Rodgers' injury, but I'm not really sure. They will get healthy this week because they're at home against San Francisco on Monday night. So
if it's another insanely bad matchup. People said that they thought Rodgers looked better this week, but obviously the defense, other than the Bills game, has looked terrible all season.
San Francisco, a bit of a disappointment, but I thought they'd be 2-3 right now. They only have one fewer win, but obviously their season was over once, you know, Garoppolo and everybody else got hurt. The weird thing is that in week one with C.J. Beathard, they played really well against the Chargers. Mm-hmm. And then in week two against what we thought was the worst team in the NFL in Arizona at home.
McCarthy's got to go. I've had enough of Mike McCarthy. Let's bring in some.
Well, Aaron Rodgers has been saying that for years.
We had
a Packers guest on this podcast a couple of years ago who was all in the bag for McCarthy. But yeah.
McCarthy, it's just enough. Like, if they don't win a playoff game this year, they cannot bring him back. It would be worse than the Cowboys bringing back Garrett.
Yeah. They will have had how many playoff wins do they have total in the Aaron Rodgers era? Like, seven?
Not enough. Yeah,
and you take away the four from the Super Bowl season. Yeah.
Well, if you take away Eli's four from both Super Bowl seasons, he has zero.
He's got zero.
Fun fact.
That's correct, yeah. But, I mean, Rodgers, he made two NFC Championship games, right? I think they lost to Chicago that one time. They lost to Seattle. All right.
The Giants.
Yeah, the Giants. All right, okay, let's go to that sort of covers all the big disappointments and the big surprises. Let's talk about some teams that sort of the perception is that.
Well, hold on. Just to correct myself, I think that the Giants Super Bowls, they beat the Packers in the NFC Championship game. That was Favre, right?
That was Favre's last throw in 2007.
They did beat the Packers, but it was round two. I think they beat them 37.
Yeah, that was the Packers 15-1 season. That was Rodgers' best season of his career.
They probably beat who they beat in the NFC Championship game? The Niners, I would think.
Yeah, that was. Yeah. Wasn't that the game with all the fumbles by the punt returner by Kenny?
I take it back.
All right. Okay. All right. Let's talk about a team that is people are talking about as a big surprise, but not really that much. That's the Chicago Bears. So they're 2-2. I thought they'd be 2-2 right now. They're 3-1. So they have an extra win. You know, I understand they just destroyed Tampa, and so everybody's excited about them right now. But I think we want to slow our roll just a little bit on the Bears. They should not and they would not have beaten Arizona if not for if not for one play in that game. Right. Mm-hmm. And then they beat Seattle at home. Fine, you should do that. They beat Tampa at home. Fine, you should do that. They blew a lead with Aaron Rodgers injured in week one. The way that they beat Tampa obviously was impressive. But, you know, look, they're 3-1. But Bill Simmons on his podcast just took for granted, we know who all the playoff teams are going to be. You know, obviously it's the Bears, the NFC North. Like, I would still rank the Bears the third most likely team to win this division.
Yeah, it was insane. He was being insane this week. The Bears have the four-game AFC East gauntlet coming up right now. They've got the Dolphins, Patriots, Jets, and Bills next
all
4 weeks.
But, yeah. The worst you can go in those if you're a decent team is 2-2.
Oh, if you go 2-2, that's bad.
Yeah, well, I mean, at Miami and then the Patriots are the two harder ones, and then they get the Jets and the Bills.
Chicago and Miami are kind of similar, to be honest. They're kind of similar teams. This is it's not an interesting matchup, but it's a close matchup.
Well, I thought it would be a pick. And Chicago's a three-point favorite in Miami.
It's crazy.
Yeah, you thought Miami would be a three-point favorite, so you think they're exactly the same team.
Yeah, I'm picking Miami to win. Yeah,
if this was in Chicago, Chicago would be a nine-point favorite.
I mean, Chicago's pass rushes, they're very similar. Obviously, Max is a little better than Wake. But Tannehill, at this point, I would take him over Trubisky. So.
Yeah, I mean, Trubisky has been atrocious except for the one game. You know what? I am picking, and I picked the Cardinals to beat Chicago, and I was wrong, but I'm picking Miami to beat Chicago.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I'm telling, like, we play, go to Chicago. I'm not afraid of them. I'm afraid of Khalil Mack. You have to, you know, quadruple team him.
I will say, as a Vikings fan, I was looking at the remainder of the schedule. I think at Chicago, you know, if the Vikings split against Chicago, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. But
that schedule is really, listen, so they have four AFC East games, two against the Lions in that 10-day span with Thanksgiving, and a Giants matchup all in, the next 7 weeks. That could be a really, you know, you could see a Bears team that just on the strength of their defense is something.
Yeah, but the games you didn't mention are the Vikings twice, the Packers, and the Rams. So they could lose all four.
No, for sure. Yeah. But I'm just saying they could be before that Rams game, they could be something like 8-4 or 9-3.
All right. Well, if they're 9-3, then I'll have to eat my shorts. All right. I have Miami winning. You also Miami winning?
Yes.
All right. Interesting. All right. So that's the Chicago Bears. Don't at me, Bears fans. The Miami Dolphins, another team.
Anybody who says don't at me never gets ats, just FYI. Justin Bieber never says, don't at me.
Okay. The Dolphins, also one game better than I thought. They're 3-2. I thought they'd be 2-3. Basically, I didn't think they'd go into New York and win. But when they were 3-0, we were calling them one of the worst 3-0 teams ever, and then they proved our point the next 2 weeks. So not really a lot to say about them.
No, nothing to say about the Dolphins. Next.
All right, let's talk about a team that just completely laid an egg last night in Monday Night Football, Washington.
Unwatchable. I mean, ESPN does that thing which I really like, which they have the five skill position guys on the bottom of the screen.
Yeah.
And it's always like it's like vomit on the screen every time they show the Redskins five guys.
Yeah, I picked Washington.
It's like Chris Thompson, who can't run the ball, can only catch, and like then a completely different. They almost have like shifts, like a hockey team.
Adrian Peterson had tricked people into thinking he was good. Yeah, but he had four runs for 6 yards.
And yeah,
it's Josh Dotson and Jamison Crowder. I mean,
it's nobody. It's a bunch of wide receiver fours, a bunch of guys that like in a six bye week you have to consider picking up. And then they get three.
And by the way, why were we ever excited about this team? Like, okay, they wanted Arizona, the worst team in the league.
Well, their division sucks. Like, they could still win the division.
They beat the Packers, which was very impressive. But that was a week after losing at home to Indy, who's 1-4.
Yeah, they scored 9 points at home against the Colts. That's not ideal.
Yeah. So, I mean, they haven't scored 20. They haven't scored 20 since week one at Arizona.
They also haven't played a game closer than 12 yet, oddly.
Yeah.
But again, they're going to keep winning. They've got a game against the Cowboys, a game against the Giants, a game against the Bucks, a second game against the Cowboys and Giants. Like they have a lot of wins on their schedule. They could easily be 8-8.
I don't think they're going to beat the Cowboys.
I don't know, but I'm just saying like they could be 8-8 and be horrendous and be like the eighth worst team or something.
Yeah. Well, they're still probably the second best team in this division. They're a little bit better than Dallas. They're a lot better than the Giants. The Eagles are just going to limp to this division at 9-6-1 or something like that.
By the way, so the AFC is something like 12-9 against the NFC. Is the AFC better than the NFC possibly?
Well, the NFC
like the
is
Rams
more
are the best team.
Yeah,
but who's like? There's no good team in the NFC East.
Well, I've been saying this for a while. There's only really two good teams in the league, or through for 4 or 5 weeks, which is the Rams and Chiefs.
I think the Patriots are good.
The Patriots. I'd say the Patriots, Vikings, and Saints are all sort of rounding into shape right now.
Yeah, that's tier two.
Yeah, Jacksonville is fine. I guess that's the rest. That's the rest of that tier. And then the Eagles will be fine. That's the rest of that tier. That's probably the top seven, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And then you have Carolina, Cincinnati, Baltimore, the Chargers, Pittsburgh, the Packers. Chicago. I guess those are all sort of. That's the next tier. I would say probably right.
Are you dogging the Jets right now, or are you ditching them on purpose?
What do you mean ditching?
We haven't got to the Jets yet.
What do you want to get to about them?
We're talking about their game. When are we going to talk about their game?
Okay, well, so let's talk about them right now. So I had the Jets being 1-4 at this point. I did not think they would go in Detroit and win. So they're 2-3, a little bit better than I thought. What do you want to say about this game? Indy, by the way. Indy seems like a very good team to be 1-4. But yet they're 1-4. So how good are you?
It's
really
a weird team because you're not like, yes, we have Indy because Luck is so good. He's going to be able to move the ball.
Again, the Bengals game was a toss-up right to the end. Then they went into Washington and won. They go at the Super Bowl champs and have a decent loss.
Should
have
won, yeah.
The Texans game, we don't fault the coach for the aggressive decision, although, probably that should have been a tie.
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially a tie, yeah.
Yeah. And then they always lose to the Patriots. So
I don't know what
four
to do. I think we know less about the Colts than a lot of other teams.
Yeah.
So they might not be horrible. And this is a great stretch. Jets, Bills,
Indy
Raiders
should not be 1-4, though.
No. Jets, Bills, Raiders, they could easily get to 4-4. Now, I that being said, I don't know. The Jets looked really good, but against the lousy team. They dominated all three phases. They were able to run, they were able to pass. They didn't really give up anything. They outscored after they fumbled on their own 20 and the Broncos scored a couple plays later.
I mean, I picked up Isaiah Crowell on Sunday in our League of Leagues, and then he had 230 yards.
Did you start him?
No. There's no avenue to start him, really, but he obviously has to be owned.
Yeah, Crowell and Powell, if one of them got hurt, the other one would be like a top 10 guy.
Yeah.
Just because they really only have two guys on their team. It's funny because like Crowell,
Quincy Anunua, who you were in love with, had zero catches.
Yeah, they threw him the ball a lot. He just didn't. He didn't get like he's.
Yeah,
he's
I added him also.
Receiver.
I added two Jets at the same time, which is not ideal. But they're the last two guys on my bench. So.
Crowell's the backup. Crowell has two, almost 200 yard games already this season, and he is like their backup running back, and he gets like 12 carries. It's crazy.
Yeah,
they have been able to break plays. You wouldn't have thought it, but Robbie Anderson has three deep touchdowns already.
But he has like six catches on the season or something like that.
Yes.
He's not the fantasy.
Darnold's been way less accurate than people would have hoped, but he can throw deep. Like if they give him time, which they didn't against Jacksonville and they didn't against Miami, like he throws a nice deep ball.
All right, Indy's defense is terrible. All their receivers are injured, so I'm going to pick the Jets to win again.
It's pretty coin. What are they? 3-point favorites? The Jets? It's a coin toss.
Yeah, it's exactly three. It's a
I probably take the 3 points with the Colts, but it's the Jets, so I'll pick the Jets.
All right. Well, last week you picked Denver, and that did not work out for you.
No.
Was it the most enjoyable Jets victory? When's the last time you were at a Jets victory like that?
I went to the Bills Thursday night game last year in November. It was kind of meaningless because they were a bad team, but they dominated the Bills also. I believe I haven't checked. I have it at home. I have like since, you know, from like 1989, like wrote down the stats and the score of every game I've been to. I think it might have been the 100th Jet game I've ever been to, but I'd have to go double check.
Okay, let's jump over the pond to London. Seattle against Oakland in London this week. It's tricky when they make that game.
I hate the 1 o'clock games. Yeah,
They should make it.
Let me have a quadruple header. Come on, football.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
Other ones are. I think this is the only one of the three that's not.
Yeah, it's annoying when they do because you don't even realize it's in London. Did you know that when you were guessing your spread?
I don't remember.
Yeah, you had Seattle favored by one. So Bill Simmons had Oakland favored by 2.5. So Bill Simmons.
I'm
going to
guess now 4.
Well, if you said 4,
what is it?
Then you would have tied me. So I said 2, and it's 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Seahawks are better than the Raiders. Like, the Raiders could win this game, but the Seahawks are better. So
yeah, well, Seattle acquitted themselves well against the Rams. A bit disappointing. I thought they'd be 3-2 right now. They're 2-3. So they're a bit disappointed. Mm-hmm. Oakland is 1-4. Like the Giants, I thought they'd be 1-4. So they are who we thought they were. Not a lot to say about this game. I'm picking Seattle. You're picking Seattle, right?
Yep.
Okay, and then they'll be on a bye. All right, and then I think there's a couple more 1 o'clock games we haven't got to yet. The Chargers at Cleveland. So the Chargers are another disappointing team. I thought they'd be 4-1 right now. Just, mm-hmm. You know, their schedule's been very easy to start the season.
Chargers are in the front runner seat for that fifth seed in the AFC? Because I think so.
Yeah, but, you know, they played the Chiefs and the Rams, which in hindsight were the two best teams in football, so I guess it's understandable that they lost both of those.
Now, they didn't, but they going didn't into make the season, themselves look great against the Niners or the Bills. They did beat the Raiders, but they've only played great teams or atrocious teams so far.
Yeah, but again, they did not look – they sort of struggled against the Bills and against the Bethard 49ers. Mm-hmm. So, that, you know, they're a little bit disappointing. But, you know, they, as you said, they're still in the driver's seat there because the Broncos are not good and the Raiders are even worse. Cleveland. Let's talk about Cleveland. So is Cleveland, you know, one of the biggest surprises of the season?
Yeah.
And I would argue, no, because I had them to be 2-3 at this point. Mm-hmm. Just because, you know, they're facing the Jets at home. Like, those are the kinds of games you have to win.
You didn't think that they almost
they're
tied
2-2
five
and
different
one.
Times, though. That's a surprise.
Well, yeah, so that's a yes, obviously. So, they played better than I thought against Pittsburgh and against New Orleans, but the bottom line is that they, you know, didn't win either of those games. They lost at Oakland. So the way they've played, first of all, yeah, all five of their games could have been a tie. I guess the Jets game probably the least likely to have been a tie, but could have been. So the way that they've played. But the bottom line is their record is not much better than I thought it would be. And you look at their schedule, I don't see a win again until December, nice. Probably.
No, they could beat anybody. The Chargers schedule, Browns, Titans, Seahawks, Raiders.
Well, hold on. Let me put it this way.
The Chargers could be 9-2.
Will they be favored? Will I thought this would be a pick, so I did not realize the Chargers would be favored in this game. Will the Browns be favored again until December? This week they're facing the Chargers. They're underdogs mm-hmm. at home. They go at Tampa.
I mean, if they win this week, they could be 1-point favorites.
No, they're not going to be favored on the road. At Pittsburgh, they're not going to be favored. At home against the Chiefs, they're not going to be favored, obviously. At home against the Falcons, they could be if the Falcons fall apart, but we think the Falcons are really good
Matt
with
Ryan's
a 1-4 record.
It's unlikely, but possible. Yeah.
At Cincinnati, they're not going to be favored. At Houston, they're not going to be favored. At home against Carolina, they're not going to be favored.
Probably
at the Broncos,
not.
They're not going to be favored. At home against the Bengals, in fact, you know what? The Browns will not be favored.
No, they might be favored in Denver. If they're decent, they'll be favored in Denver if they win a couple of those games.
Not in
Denver's
no,
real
not,
bad.
Denver's not a terrible team.
Oh, they have Denver?
Well, they're not.
How about this? Let me ask you a question. Case Keenum is the 32nd best quarterback in football. I mean, if you want to say Josh Allen, fine. I almost don't want to count the rookies. But Case Keenum is the worst quarterback. Who is a worse quarterback than Case Keenum? You can't say Beathard because
well, first
he's
of
the
all,
backup.
Well,
and he's the worst
he's quarterback
in the league.
Right now.
Keenum has the worst the worst QB in the league, including Allen and Darnold and all the rookies, without pressure.
Okay.
Which just means he like sucks in general.
Okay. Beathard is worse, obviously. Josh Allen is worse. Darnold is worse right now.
No,
Trubisky is
they
worse.
Just played. They just played. There was nothing about Keenum, who has better receivers than Thomas and Sanders. That's better than Keenum. Sucks. He's
I think
real Eli's, bad.
Eli and Keenum are about the same.
I'd rather have Eli than Keenum. Keenum stinks.
Mm. Keenum's a bit more mobile. Look, there's a reason Keenum was a career backup.
Yeah, and he's too small.
Right,
and his wife's not pretty.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, we're on record on this.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Chargers into Cleveland. Who are you picking to win this game?
Chargers.
Put your money where your mouth is.
I'm picking the Browns.
Cleveland's so good.
Yeah, I'm picking the Browns.
Okay.
But I also like the Chargers. I like both these teams. I wish these are two wild card teams. That's, of course, assuming the Jets win the division, the Patriots miss the playoffs, but I wish.
Yeah. All right, I'm gonna pick the Chargers, so we have another disagreement there.
Yeah, okay.
It's rare that you pick the home team and I pick the road team, but yeah, there we go. All right, and then
I like the scenario that I have the home team. I don't know why I always get saddled with the road team.
Nobody's saddling. All right, Carolina at Washington. So we were talking about Washington before. Washington
is a snoozer.
Carolina is 3-1. I thought they'd be 3-1. To win on a 63-yard field goal, that shouldn't really count as a win. And I say this as a guy whose team doesn't have a
kicker. I mean, if that happened to me, like, I was at a Jet game. If the Jets lost that game on a 63-yard field goal, I would not have gotten the car on the way home. Like, I would have just laid there crying until a security guard made me leave, and then I would have just walked aimlessly throughout New Jersey.
So let's talk about Carolina. They're 3-1. They had an unimpressive win against the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. They lost to Atlanta, which in hindsight is Atlanta's only victory. Mm-hmm. And then they, you know, got lucky to beat the Giants.
That's a loss.
They beat the Bengals by 10, which I guess is the Bengals' only loss, so it's a better victory than we thought. But not really too impressive. And now they go at Washington, at Philadelphia the next 2 weeks. And I have to believe Washington's better than what we saw last night. I mean, we're going to be swayed by that. That line is probably going to move a little bit. But I'm picking Washington to beat Carolina at home.
I'm picking Carolina to win. Okay. Alex Smith looked so bad last night. So bad.
Yeah, but he's better than that.
Why?
Right?
He sucks, and he's old, and he sucks.
He sucks, and he's old, and he sucks. All right. All right, Buffalo at Houston. Buffalo has one more win than I thought they'd have at this point. I did not think they'd go into
Houston's
Minnesota.
Houston's going to start rolling off wins now. Deshaun's feeling it.
Houston's exactly what
Hopkins
I thought they'd be. They're 2-3. Did you watch all of the Sunday night game Houston against Dallas?
I watched a lot of it, yeah. I fell asleep at the end.
That was my lock of the week, that Houston would cover 3.5. I was wrong. They were inside the 5-yard line a lot. You think that Watson's going to roll. I hate to say this because I own him in fantasy. I don't think he's finishing the season.
Oh, well, that's a separate thing. When he plays, he's going to be great.
But that's not a separate thing. But he's not good because the way he plays, like, he got destroyed because he's just – they're running the ball too much. He's taking way too many hits.
Yes, I agree.
He can throw the ball. He's not like Cam.
He can throw the ball better. Like, he should not be doing this. It's not necessary.
Will Fuller is really good, and you know, DeAndre Hopkins is one of the best two or three receivers in all of football. I just don't understand why Watson is getting hit as much as he can, and I'm nervous for him. Yeah. You know, so they're 2-3. As you said, you know, they get the Bills this week, so that's obviously a win. But then they go at Jacksonville, and then you know, they got 3 out of 4 road games after this week. So
that division is a mess.
You know, this
AFC
division,
South, any of those four teams could.
Well, I still think the Jaguars are the best
team
in the division.
But
look, the Jaguars lost at home to Tennessee,
so
anything's
bad
possible.
The last couple weeks.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So no disagreement there. Let's get to the late games. We have Jacksonville at Dallas. So Dallas is 2-3, which is exactly where I thought they'd be, and Jacksonville's 3-2, exactly where I thought they'd be. So there's not really a lot to say about either one of those teams. Jacksonville, it's just from week to week, you have no idea what you're getting from Bortles.
Yeah, Bortles threw for almost 400 yards 2 weeks ago against the Jets, but the sandwiching weeks, Titans and the Chiefs, he was useless. There are weeks where...
Oh, he threw for a bunch of yards, but he has a million turnovers.
He turns the ball over so much. He looks like a clown. Dallas is awful. The problem is they're going to be able to get to him. I do think this could be a ton of turnovers and sacks. That's not such a hot take because these are two really good front sevens. I like the Jaguars to actually win this game.
In Dallas.
Yeah, I just I'm not seeing it.
No, I mean you're not wrong. I can't trust Bortles in a road game right now.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm at home either.
By the way, why is this game a late game? Is this game also going to be on TV?
Well, that's got to be, I'm assuming.
I mean, CBS is, look at the three late games are all garbage.
The national game I'm assuming is Jaguars Cowboys.
There's three late games. Rams against Denver, which is garbage. Baltimore at Tennessee, which is complete garbage.
Yeah, but one
garbage.
Of them is a national game. The Jaguars-Cowboys is national because 4 o'clock game, Cowboys
because
anything,
the Cowboys are on TV every week. And
Cowboys anything.
Why is this team on TV every single week?
Now, you could argue Rams-Broncos is a better game, but the Rams are going to beat the Broncos by 50. Let's talk about that for a second. Here's what I have to say. Rams are going to beat the Broncos by 50.
Yeah. By the way, so Denver, I thought they'd be 3-2, so they're 1 win off that pace. A little disappointing. And the Rams, you know, I thought they'd be 4-1, so, you know, I didn't think they'd look
Denver
like the best
can
team
really
in football,
run the ball.
That's more.
Freeman and Lindsey can both run. And Demaryius Thomas would be – we forget how good he is. Demaryius Thomas, if he was on, like, a team with, say, Peyton Manning.
No. Demaryius Thomas has been terrible all season.
No,
he had one good game, and you happen
terrible.
To watch it. So.
The point is he's really good.
He's been dropping the ball.
He can get open, and he can out-muscle anybody. If he had a good quarterback, okay. He's up there with all those guys.
Well, somehow, Case Keenum
he
looked good last year.
He got in my 10-team league this week, which I thought was insane.
Demaryius did. Yeah, we were offered him for Mark Ingram, and we almost took him. We were desperate.
Yes.
I'm glad we
did
not.
Yeah, that was smart.
Yeah. By the way, the only we missed the Vikings Cardinals game somehow. So,
well, I have nothing to say. The Vikings are going to beat the Cardinals. What's that line?
That line. Bill Simmons said this line should be 3.5. Like,
I don't know why he hates
what
the Vikings.
He smoking?
He's anti-Vikings.
Okay, so let's talk about the strength, because this is really why I wanted to do this whole thing, because the narrative about the Vikings has been it's been such a disappointing season. In the preseason, I had the Vikings number 3 in my power rankings. Do you remember what record I said they'd have through week 5?
2-3.
I said they would be 2-3. Yeah. So they're actually slightly ahead of their pace. They lost to Buffalo. Obviously, they shouldn't have lost to Buffalo. Obviously, nobody saw them losing to Buffalo. That's a big disappointment. But other than that, you look at their results. Week 1, they beat San Francisco pretty handily. Week 2, they go into Green Bay. And the narrative that whole week, if you remember, from all the national morons was, I just want to see Kirk Cousins do it one time. Just win one big game, Kirk. Win one big game on the road, and then I'll leave you alone. And he played absolutely brilliantly in that game. He had just an incredible second half in overtime. They missed 3 field goals, so they end up with a tie. But Kirk Cousins, by the parameters set by all his haters, should have shut them up at that point. Then the next week, they had they laid the egg in Buffalo at home against Buffalo. Fine. Then the next week, on short rest, they go into Los Angeles against the best team in football, and they lose that game by 1 score. And by the way, if you remember, in the second quarter of that game, the refs missed a call on Adam Thielen, had like a 66-yard touchdown where they accidentally whistled and said he was tagged down at like the 30-yard line, and replays show he clearly wasn't. If they call that correctly, the Vikings might very well win that game. And that's the second game, by the way. The defense was terrible, but Cousins was amazing again. Mm-hmm. So that's the second great game Cousins had on the road against an elite team. And then this week, against the third elite team that they played on the road, he comes in and he beats the Eagles. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand why the Vikings' issues are on the offensive line and the defensive line. But Kirk Cousins has absolutely no problems. You know, he's not Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, but he absolutely, with this offense and with these receivers, can win a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can we go through the Vikings schedule quickly?
Yeah.
So 2-2-1. You haven't beaten Arizona this week, right?
Yes.
All right, 3-2-1. Then they play the Jets.
They're going to win. The Jets are going to win. No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
4-2-1. They play the Saints at home.
It's close. That's going to be a good game. I mean, if I had this, I'd say they're going to win. But
all right, so okay. Then they play the Lions at home.
The 6-2-1 going to the bye.
All right, then they play the Bears in Chicago.
I'll say 7-2-1.
All right, then they play the Packers at home.
I'll say if Rodgers is injured by then, 8-2-1.
Okay, then they go at the Patriots.
8-3-1.
Okay, they go at Seattle. Well, but hold on. But the point is, if they're 8-2-1, there's nothing to worry about with this team.
No, 8-3-1, yeah. 9-3-1.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Miami, Detroit, let's say you split with Chicago, so you go 11-4-1 or something.
Yeah, so so all this talk about what a disappointing season has been is like a little bit ridiculous. Like, that's what happens when you face at Green Bay, at the Rams, and at the Eagles, 3 of the best 8 teams in the league on the road in the first month of the year.
Yeah,
that's all.
You.
This
I'm
was just you. A schedule
no,
issue.
No, I'm not down. I mean, I said to you, they're not worse than 6 cowrings.
So the idea that they should be 3.5-point favorites at home against the Arizona Cardinals, I mean, Bill Simmons should not be allowed to talk about football anymore. That's all I have to say.
No, he does. He doesn't want to. If it was a family, he'd just talk about basketball.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Can we end this podcast?
Okay. So then we can. Yeah, next week we're doing NFL power rankings and NBA preview power rankings. And maybe we'll do a few over-unders. My team's NBA season is over already, so... I mean, I had such high hopes for DeJounte Murray. He was clearly one of our three best players. He was, without question, going to be first-team all-defense this year. What happens is you have to, like, make second
team. Is he out
team.
For the season? Is it confirmed?
He tore his ACL. Well, I mean, when is he coming back? It's, like, a lot of Patty Mills, and Patty Mills is tiny and isn't good anymore. This guy, Derek White, they picked last year is good, but it's going to be a long year. And if I had to bet now, I think the Spurs might miss the playoffs. It's very sad.
Yeah, my team probably will also, because right now their best player
well, one
hasn't
of them
showed.
One of them probably is to make. Yeah, your best player isn't team's, well, second best player, or maybe best. I don't know.
No, he's our best player.
Really? Yeah. Well, that's not saying much for Towns then.
Yeah, anyway, it's not a great situation.
You want to trade? Do you want to trade DeRozan for Butler? Throw in like a first-round pick or something?
Yeah, I would do that in a second. Are you kidding? For sure.
So the Spurs should do that.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
If that was an option, I would definitely take it.
I'd be so excited if that happens. That, like, Butler and Aldridge is exciting.
Yeah. All right. I'm depressed.
The Spurs are going to play Marco Bellinelli 25 minutes, so that's depressing.
Fire Tibbs.
Fire Popovich.
All right. All right. And we'll drop a serial podcast at some point.
It should be up in the next couple days. All right, Chester.
I'll speak to you next week. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Feel it coming.